This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
Oh, he deserves a starting job. All right, welcome to Speaking for Yourself. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley, that dude. All right, coming up, I'll tell you why Cam Newton still has some growing up to do.
And I'll tell you why the door just opened for Colin Kaepernick to return to the NFL. Ooh, I said it. But we start today with a Whitlaw. What you got today, big dog?
Oh, I got a heaping help in Thursday Night Football on Big Fox. And I got Kirk Cousins, the Vikings quarterback, in a very big spot. Kirk Cousins is the $84 million man. That's how much guaranteed money the Minnesota Vikings doled out for a 30-year-old quarterback who has started one playoff game, thrown one playoff touchdown, and has never won in the postseason.
Lord.
My nickname for Cousins is Captain Shirk. Give me a minute and I'll explain. But what's worse is Kirk Cousins' regular season success rate against teams above 500. Look at this motley crew of passers with a minimum of 20 career starts and their record against good teams. The only guys with winning percentages lower than Captain Kirk's 4-19 record are Blake Bortles, Blaine Gabbert, Matt Stafford, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. You like that, Marcellus?
Nah, son. No.
I don't like it either. That's why I call Mr. Cousins Captain Shirk. He's a franchise quarterback who shirks the responsibility of carrying the franchise in big games. When it's winning time, Cousins often fails to deliver the finishing blow. This Captain Kirk ain't Captain Comeback. Kirk Cousins is incapable of boldly going where no man has gone before. Tonight, it's going to be interesting to see if the Super Bowl-eyeing Vikings can recover from last week's nightmare against the Buffalo Bills. The undefeated and high-scoring Rams will be the opponent. The Rams will be playing without their Pro Bowl cornerbacks, Aqib Talib and Marcus Peters. Both are out with injuries. There's no excuse for Cousins to be off his game tonight. If this turns into a shootout, Cousins should be able to go drive for drive and touchdown for touchdown with Jared Goff and Todd Gurley. But I'm expecting Cousins to figure out a way to lose this game. Call it bad luck, call it bad karma, whatever. Kirk Cousins doesn't win big games. He's really the anti-Captain Kirk. James T. Kirk specialized in leadership that elevated everyone around him. Bones, Spock, Scotty, Lieutenant Uhura, Chekhov. Captain Kirk inspired them to incredible feats against the great empires of the galaxy. The Klingons, the Romulans, the Dominion. It's a who's who of evil empires that James T. Kirk took down. Kirk Cousins' signature conquest is a victory over a 10-loss Buccaneers team in 2015. Seriously. You like that? Was a one-point victory over a 21-year-old Jameis Winston. James T. Kirk took out Khan. Captain Kirk took out the Gomer pile of football. Marcellus, all the pressure tonight is on Kirk Cousins. He needs to start justifying Minnesota's $84 million investment. So far, the Redskins don't miss him, and he's done nothing for the Vikings. It's all on Kirk Cousins, man.
Bruh.
I don't have high expectations.
Bruh, salute. I've been saying this since he was a free agent prospect. I was saying this when every team seemed to be clamoring over Kirk Cousins, the free agent. I said, do you know who this guy is? This is a guy who took full advantage of timing is everything. He had the leverage at the right time in the right situations. Let's be real about Kirk Cousins. He can't live up to this contract because he never deserved this contract, $84 million guaranteed. So now we're looking at Kirk Cousins as who he was as a free agent, and GMs all got suckered. The rarity of seeing a fringe franchise quarterback in the open market made them think that he was a rare prospect. No, because quarterbacks don't hit the open market, and when one does, doesn't mean that that guy is almighty. It means that maybe a team or two knows that guy is not worthy of making our franchise quarterback, Washington. So therefore, he is out there in the free agent market. I told you before how coaches used to always say, send a limousine for the guys that we want to see show up on Sundays, in this case, on a Thursday night. Send a limo. Coach also used to say, not everybody's that sorry, and Kirk Cousins is not that sorry. We're not sending a limo for him, but he is the same OG. And Coach used to say the same OG means he's occasionally good and occasionally great. That's who this Kirk Cousins is, a guy who's just going to be slightly above average.
I'm going to give you another analogy. I want the viewers to stick with me because at first you're going to be offended, but I'm going to clean it up.
Oh.
It's like you see some beautiful woman in her 30s, early 30s, late 30s, whatever. You go, damn, I wonder how come she's not married.
Mm-hmm.
It's like looking across and seeing a 50-year-old dude that's always been gainfully employed, very successful. And you go, I wonder why Jason Whitlock's never been married.
Yeah, I'm looking at him.
There's a problem.
Exactly.
Trust me, I'm not in denial. There's a problem.
Yeah.
I'm an and I'm difficult to deal with. And so there is a problem. When Kirk Cousins is on the market,
it
screams, there's a problem. The Washington Redskins dated him for 5 years.
Right.
And never wanted to put a ring on it.
Mm-mm.
That, to me, screams they're a problem. And Minnesota is dealing with that problem. This, so far, and I don't care what his numbers, because he's throwing for nice yards or whatever. He's not racking up yards per attempt, but he's throwing for nice yards. And his stats at the end of the year are going to look pretty good.
Yeah.
But he's not really an upgrade over Case Keenum. And that was my issue. They could have got Case Keenum for $17, $18 million a year. Instead, they gave this guy $84 million over 3 years.
Should have stuck with Case Keenum. Should have stuck with Sam Bradford in some respect. Ooh, that's tough to say
that's
right
tough.
Now.
That's tough to say. That's too far.
Teddy Bridgewater. So, all I'm saying is that congregation of quarterbacks they had would have been better. Yeah, on the surface, in terms of security, and Mike Zimmer went out there and said, hey, my job security is tied to this quarterback. Less is more. Like, they would have had lesser talents, but it would have been better and more for this franchise. Kirk Cousins, let's talk about the numbers. Let's talk about the three consecutive years of 25-plus touchdowns and 4,000 yards and the empty calories in those numbers. And let's just be real about it. Case in point, Buffalo game last week against the Buffalo Bills, first half, 44 yards. Second half finishes up with 296. You sit there and say, oh, if you're not observing every single throw, okay, it's not all on Kirk Cousins. And he's done that consistently throughout his career, been able to pad his stats and give you those empty calories.
I have been waiting for Kirk Cousins to deliver and trying to, because I've gone back and forth, because I'll watch some games like, man, he got a hell of an arm.
Yeah.
He got some presence in the pocket. But too often it would get to winning time and the touchdown, the drive that you need to finish the game isn't there. Now, I've seen it sometimes when his teammates have let him down. There was a Monday night game, I think, where his teammate dropped a game-winning touchdown in the end zone. He put a dime on him. And I get it. Not all the time is it Kirk Cousins' fault. But he's one of those guys that just has a cloud over him to some degree.
Mm.
He can only be so successful. He's just not a championship-type quarterback. And there are just guys like that that can put up numbers, but when it's the most important time, when it comes time to elevating your teammates and making the defensive guys think, if we just get the ball back to Kirk Cousins or whoever this quarterback is, they're going to take it. He doesn't do that.
No, high risk, high reward, and this is not a daring quarterback. He's great with the checkdowns. He's great with the short intermediate throws. He's even great in compact space in the red zone this year with the few throws he's had. What he's not great at is you got the ball at the 20-yard line. Let's go 80 yards and march down the field. Oh, we have opportunities down the field. Let's make those plays. He got taken care of in Washington because everyone wrote no running game and not enough weapons. You don't have that same case in point when you're talking about the Minnesota roster. They're all not playing up to optimal level. We get that. But still, he has the weapons to take advantage of. He finds a way not to.
Tonight, the Rams without their cornerbacks. Great opportunity for them to steal a victory.
Amazing.
But the stats are just, the trends are against them. Teams that travel two time zones on Thursday night are 0-6. And so I'm expecting the Los Angeles Rams, even without their cornerbacks, to take care of business tonight and put it on the Vikings. And Kirk Cousins does not collect a victory against a team 500 or above again. I expect them to lose.
Yeah, I expect them to lose as well. The Rams' offense too potent. So guess what? Kirk Cousins may find himself in a hole. And we're talking about a quarterback who doesn't go down the field, who doesn't play outside the system in terms of trying to make those big plays. He's going to find himself in a hole. And if he still plays structured football, they're just going to lose methodically. Rams win.
We'll get right back to the show. But first, I wanted to tell our listeners about HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a meal kit delivery service that shops, plans, and delivers step-by-step recipes and pre-measured ingredients so you can just cook, eat, and enjoy. Why do I recommend HelloFresh? There's something for everyone. Three plans to choose from: classic, veggie, and family. Each box is made up of fresh, responsibly obtained ingredients from carefully selected farms and high-rated trusted sources. Make family dinners fuss-free with HelloFresh's picky eater, kid-tested, and approved family plan recipes. Rediscover the excitement of cooking. Look forward to your HelloFresh delivery, knowing dinner just got that much easier. HelloFresh believes cooking should be simple and convenient, not a chore. All the ingredients come pre-measured in handy labeled meal kits, so you know which ingredients to go with each recipe. Won't spend time all night in the kitchen because recipes only take around 30 minutes. There are many benefits of subscribing, so you can keep enjoying HelloFresh week after week. Spend less time meal planning and grocery shopping each week and get that time back to do more of what you love. Get delicious, filling meals delivered right to your door every week for less than $10 per serving and free shipping. For a total of $60 off, that's $20 off your first three boxes, visit HelloFresh.com/speak60 and enter speak60. Again, for a total of $60 off, that's $20 off your first three boxes, visit HelloFresh.com/speak60 and enter speak60 as the promo code. So visit HelloFresh today.
All right, welcome back. That's That Dude. I'm Jason Whitlock. Time for some big stories, starting with a big one in Charlotte. Today, the Panthers signed safety Eric Reed to a one-year deal. Reed last played for the 49ers, where he was the first 49er to join Colin Kaepernick in kneeling during the anthem. After the Niners didn't re-sign him, Reed also joined Cap in accusing the NFL owners of collusion when he also couldn't find a job. Soon after, after the signing, Kaepernick posted this on social media: "Congrats to my brother, all pro safety, who should have been signed the first day of free agency, who has signed a pro football contract. He was the first person to kneel alongside me. Eric is a social justice warrior." His family and communities in need. Marcellus.
Yes.
Does this move help Kaepernick's chances of rejoining the NFL?
Is that Kaepernick's voice or is that the all-encompassing black voice?
That's just me.
Let me answer. First of all, yes. Absolutely yes. And I saw this coming, too. How long have we been working together? This is our third week. God, I wish it was 3 months, because you would have heard me say these things, but I'm going to give it to you now in package form. My five-step conspiracy theory that is actually following plan. Here you go. All right, number one was highest profile members in the collusion case against the NFL: Eric Reed, Colin Kaepernick, correct? Right? So the NFL sits there and says, we don't want to testify against ourselves, do we? All right. So what do we do? Step two occurs. A partner of the NFL, Nike, who was going to drop one Colin Kaepernick, decides, instead of dropping this guy, let's actually make him the face of an ad campaign. And that's going to come out, and that's going to do a few things for us. One, it's going to make him more likable. Say what you want, it has. It's going to make them more acceptable in terms of the total population saying, you know what, that's a good thing to get behind a social cause, whatever that cause may be. But most important, For the NFL's purpose, it made them bankable. And Nike's profits, Nike's engagement, Nike's stock has shown he's now bankable. Now, step three occurs. And I said this before. I wish we worked together. I'll say that already.
Go ahead.
So Mark Garagos comes out and says, there are two teams interested in one Colin Kaepernick. You guys just stay tuned. And I was like, stay tuned? I'm already watching. I already know where this is going. Step four, Eric Reed signs. You don't want to go big fish first. You don't want to go to big splash first. Eric Reed, let's test the waters. Let's see how they're going to accept this. And the last but final step, Jason Whitlock, you probably know what that is. Colin Kaepernick will sign. And that's the last step of this evolution in terms of the NFL really protecting this collusion case and doesn't want to let the world know where the bodies are buried. Therefore, Colin Kaepernick will find an opportunity in the NFL once again.
Can you
your
take
rebuttal.
Your tinfoil hat off now and your conspiracy theory. Look, I think all this is all the air is out of the protest. Mm. And so now it's like, Eric Reed, come on in. You want to come in and take a knee with the Carolina? No one's talking about it. No one cares. You want to do your little gesture that's really not doing anything? No problem. We've moved on and we're playing football. Same goes for Colin Kaepernick, although I think it's a bit more difficult for Kaepernick because when Kaepernick shows up, like Eric Reed, they signed him 1-year deal. He's probably going to play this week and maybe even start. But eventually he may just return to being a backup in Carolina. He's not a big deal. When Kaepernick shows up on your team, there's a question about should he be playing? Should he be playing ahead of your starting quarterback?
Depends on where he lands.
Yeah, yes. Depends on where. There's an immediate. And so I think it becomes a bit more difficult. But I think the national anthem controversy is over. And so you can bring Kaepernick in. He can wear his afro. He can do his kneeling. And everybody on Twitter can applaud and make like a. But the real world has moved on.
Well, the real world moved on because the real world felt like it took a loss. Whether that being the spokesman being our president or everyone else averse to this movement. The thing about it is, the air's not out of it because they wanted it to stop. It's because, reluctantly, there's no more issue to have with this cause and this protest. Fewer guys are protesting. Let's just be real about
that. Right, that's what I'm saying.
Right. Fewer guys are protesting, but still the support is greater than ever. And it's just like the whatever you want to say the other side is saying. The other side is saying we are beating a dead horse now. This situation to us is over in the respect that we can't do anything else to change these guys' mind in terms of their social calls and protests. It's just that simple. So I don't want it to seem like that they said, oh, you know what, we won, therefore it's over. It's like we can't win, so it's over now. That's the situation.
I guess my point, I don't think anybody won.
Okay.
I really don't think anybody won. I think it was two kids fighting, and they both ran out of energy, and someone... Y'all need to stop.
Let's just play ball again.
Spray them with water, break them up, quit. Y'all cut that out. Y'all ain't even throwing real punches anymore. Because again, no. When football kicks off on Sunday, everybody's talking about football. Mm-hmm. And I think everybody, again, on both sides, Kaepernick is a brand that's being used by Nike. It's not about some social justice. Nike's in the business of selling tennis shoes.
Oh, yeah.
And so, to me, Kaepernick raised his hand and said, you know what? I'm in the business of helping Nike sell tennis shoes.
You guys helping me as well. But the question is, let me see this. Let's reset. Do you think he's going to be on the NFL roster this year?
I think there's a chance, but I think there's only really a hand. If San Francisco wanted to sign him and bring him to Woke City in San Francisco, I think it works there.
Well, look, Eric Reed is not in Woke City. Matter
of
fact.
No. He's irrelevant, man. Nobody cares about Eric Reed.
But the owner, you know what's not irrelevant? The owner, David Tepper, Republican by his affiliation and political views, except on a congressional level, he says he votes Democrat. So whatever that means, he's the newest to the good old boy club, the newest owner. And I think they looked at him in that ownership group and said, it'd be nice if the new guy could show us a vested interest in this group by doing something for us. You think
they
that's
have a need
risk?
At safety?
Oh, of course.
This is a football
team. Teams
decision.
Have a need at quarterback and safety, and this hasn't occurred
but
before.
I think Carolina made a business football decision, and then I don't think the owner's politics at all plays into this because, again, Eric Reed is harmless. And the whole kneeling protest movement, is now really harmless.
If he was so harmless, how come it took him to week four to get
he's
signed?
Not when he's not a great player.
He's not a horrible player, and he's better than players on roster. Something kept him 4 weeks behind in terms of being on
because
the opening day
roster.
Because
he's not a great player. He's not a difference maker. When there was a need, there's other safeties better than him that haven't signed as well. Dez Bryant can't get a job, and I could argue Dez Bryant's a better player than Eric.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so there's guys. Look, man, I grew up with a guy, Jeff George, for a long time to set out of the league when he was far more talented than guys that were playing. That happens all the time.
And Jeff George also had some other things on the resume people didn't want to deal with.
Right. No difference.
So that's what I'm saying. Eric Reid had some things on the resume people didn't want to deal with, this being that thing.
Yeah. To some degree, but at the end of the day, the value in safeties, the way the league is being efficient, is just not the same.
No. Safeties, fullbacks, and so nobody cares.
This is a guy that played some linebacker last year, I believe, for the 49ers. I just think the reason why he's getting signed and the reason why Kaepernick may get signed is because the gesture and the whole deal has lost all of its steam and momentum. That's my view. Hmm. All right, to Dallas, where the Cowboys are 1-2 and looking for their answers. It looks like Ezekiel Elliott has a couple of good ones. When asked if the Cowboys could solve their problems on offense by running the ball more, Zeke took the question and ran with it.
I mean, you can do all that, but at the end of the day, like, if you go back and watch the film, it's poor execution on offense. You can't run the ball if you're down by 17 points. That's what it is. If we get behind, we're going to have to throw the ball. We're not going to be able to, you know, do what we want to do. So what we have to do so we can be able to run the ball more is just be better early in the game. If we're better early in the game, if we're not taking those three and outs, if we're not in long down and distance, we can run the football. So if we execute early, then we can run the football as much as we want.
All right, Marcellus, you think Zeke has lost any confidence in Dak Prescott?
Oh, absolutely. Whether it's in his quiet corners with his few confidants or just not even trusting in anyone, just looking at Dak Prescott, he's like, oh, man, Dak is struggling. And it's smart of Zeke to actually come out and play this with the Jedi mind trick that he's playing this with. This is amazing because I think his greater gain and his greater goal is to outlast the fray. What do I mean by that? Year one was an amazing year, not only for Zeke, but for Dak. Year two, a lot of the blame of Dak's struggles went to Zeke because, in part, he was a distraction. Was he going to play this week? Was he not going to play this week? Oh, you should already take the suspension. You finally do. 6 games left. We lose our playoff opportunities. It's all on you. So now he's starting to think, I need to get my image back in terms of being a franchise player. How do I do that? Not pouring on the extra syrup on a struggling Dak. I let the media do that. I let Jerry Jones do that. I let Stephen Jones. I let Dak do that. But I'm going to stay away from the fray and outlast it. So what you saw from Zeke right there was what politicians do all the time. Smart play. Elastic language. Talk out of both sides of your mouth. You know why? Because Dak is going to sit there and hear that and say, he's talking about me, but he's not talking about me. And that's going to be enough pressure as a teammate to put on your starting quarterback, say, do better, and at the same time protect his image as he has greater goals.
I got to agree with you. I think that anybody with two eyes can see that Dak's play has slipped.
Oh, yeah.
And so it would be impossible for anybody in that locker room not to have lost a little. Well, damn, you know, is he going to be as great as he could? However, I do believe that Zeke is like me. We're cognizant of the fact that Dak's play has slipped, but I still feel really confident that if given the right pieces and given the proper coaching and game plan, I think Dak Prescott is a quarterback you can win with at the highest level in the National Football League. I think that Zeke, if anything being political, he's not taking shots at the coaching staff. Because to me, what blows my mind is Jerry seems more committed to Jason Garrett than damn near anybody else in the franchise, any player, anybody else in the franchise other than Jason Garrett. And at some point, to me, if I was Zeke, Dak, any of these players, the pressure needs to be on Jason Garrett and the coaching staff. They have one of the most unimaginative offensive schemes in football. Jason Garrett's been there forever and's had more than enough time to have playoff success. It hasn't happened. Jason Garrett's one of the best clappers in the NFL, and that's about it.
Look, I'm not going to let you aim incorrectly at the priority here. The priority here, look, they've been through coaching changes before. The culture stays
not
the
same. Not in 7-8 years.
But here's the thing. What they need to do, and I think even Zeke is alluding to this, it's our quarterback play. Because week one, Jerry Jones came out and criticized Jason Garrett. Remember I told you about that. Creativity in offense. I just saw a Cam Newton go out there. Yep. That was a shot at you, Jason Garrett, not at Dak. Next week, Dak actually goes out there and runs the ball more consistently. Dak is looking like in the last 10 games, they show his numbers are eerily similar to Brock Osweiler. Brock Osweiler is who Dak Prescott has been of late. And you said if you give him the right weapons, the right support, the right coach, that's how Kirk Cousins got to Minnesota. People were saying that. And we just went over that topic of maybe you need to assess who he is before you start saying what's around him. Dak, to me, is the problem.
Listen.
He's the problem.
I think comparing to Brock Osweiler is unfair. Comparing him to Kirk Cousins, a guy that but Doc's not getting paid $84 million. He's still on a rookie deal.
True.
$600,000. I think $900,000 next year.
And he's playing like it.
Yeah, he really
living
is.
Living up to that money.
He really is.
Yeah.
I contend, though, if you look at what's been consistent in Dallas's failure and why they haven't had playoff success, it's Jason Garrett. And at some point, you got to make a move that direction. All right, welcome back. I'm Jason Whitlock. That's Marcellus Wiley. Joining us now are Fox NFL analyst Rod Woodson and TJ Houshmandzadeh. All right, in the previous two seasons, Cam Newton's stats were reaching Brock Osweiler levels. This season, it's a whole different story. Cam is putting up some of his best numbers ever, completing more than 67% of his passes, racking up 8 total touchdowns, and throwing only 1 pick. That has led his head coach, Ron Rivera, to say that his game has truly matured. I'm not sure if I'm buying it. I'm not sure. And I love the way Cam Newton is playing. I think he's playing the best football of his career. But maturity, I haven't seen it. There was a play in the Bengals game towards the end, I think in the fourth quarter. Cam picks up this first down running and then picks up an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty, taunting a defensive player, took him out of field goal range, and gave the Bengals the ball back with a chance to tie the game. Cam still does silly things, but in the pocket and playing that quarterback position, he's lights out right now.
Yeah, I'm with you there. It's not about maturity. I think he picked the wrong word. What he tried to define maturity is as being he's giving himself to the team and he's only taking what the other teams are giving him. I get that. But all quarterbacks press when they feel like they don't have proper resources around them, when the running back's not playing well and when the defense is not as good. So Cam Newton last year caught himself just pressing. That's not a maturity issue because in the 3 games that they played, they haven't been blown out. You haven't seen Cam with the towel over his head yet. Wait till they get into a non-contest and then you can see maturity. So I think he just misspoke.
You know, you look at Cam and we're saying he's mature and he should. 8 years into the league. Should you not mature as you get older?
But I haven't, but go ahead.
Good point.
That's because you went to Ball State.
Yeah, yeah.
But Norv Turner is, I think, the main reason he's maturing on the football field.
Okay.
Because when you have coaches who've been there, done that, and taken other quarterbacks into another level of their play, that Norv is going to tell him things he should be doing that he needs to listen to. Now, all the other outside antics, he does have to grow up on those things. And some of the things he wears at the press conferences and the podium, some of the things I got a question. But his play on the field, yes, he has matured with that.
More accurate.
It's more so, it's what you said. Excuse me. Norv Turner gives you defined reads. It's going to be play action, and we're going to try to get chunks in a passing game. And if the chunk passing yardage isn't there, we're going to check it down. His completion percentage is going to go higher. It's not, it's what you said. It's not he has better coaching. Better coaching makes it seem like I've played better. Ron Rivera's gotten smart and said, let me hire a coordinator that can really bring the best out of Cam Newton. And that's what Norv Turner's going to run the ball. Christian McCaffrey ran for 180 yards against Cincinnati. And now we're going to play action. If that one read isn't there, that defined read isn't there, we're going to check it down to the back. So we're going to play better because our completions are much easier.
I don't think you're giving Cam enough credit. I've watched all 3 Cam games, and he is playing the game between his ears better than he has at any point in his career.
He threw the ball 24 times on Sunday. That's ancient in today's game of football.
That is archaic.
Get it. But it's the throws that he's making. It's the precision of the throws that he's been making. Cam has not always been an accurate guy. Cam's footwork and things like that have all improved his mechanics. This is what I've always believed, and I was always very reluctant to give up on Cam. The dude is so talented, and he is a competitor. This guy wants to be the best.
That's why he got that penalty, because he's a competitor,
yeah,
too.
But I right. knew at some point he would figure out, well, you know, my talent's just not good enough in this league. I got to do some of the other things in order to compete at the highest level. And that's what I think we're seeing.
Well, you got to look at it, too. Christian McCaffrey is a huge part of this. And you're talking about North Turner. Credit due. You're talking about Cam maturing between the ears. I see that. Accuracy is at 67%. When he won MVP, it was at 59. So think about it. The guy is better than the MVP year he had. But Christian McCaffrey is really the difference maker in these games compared to last year. He has like 300 more total yards in the first three games than he did last year. Last year, they were trying to figure it out. Where's this Stanford product? And he didn't show up that much. And now you're starting to see that he has more around him.
And then who came? North Turner.
That's it.
I'm only saying this for one reason, because great players and players who have a lot of ability sometimes needs to hear something in a different way. Mm-hmm. Like, I hear you. Like, Norv is talking. I hear you, Cam, but maybe you want to try it XYZ way. It might open it up a little bit better for you. And I think we're seeing that. I think he's seeing the field in a different mindset than he had in the previous years.
Yeah. Let me ask you this, though, Rod. I think if it were 2 years ago, and Norv Turner shows up, I don't think Cam hears him. I think what Cam heard the loudest were the results he wasn't getting the past couple years. And that made his ears open up to Norv Turner and the coaching. And again, I'm taking nothing away from Norv. Norv's done a great job. But he's Cam, the results have dictated that Cam has had to let other people in, Christian McCaffrey. Y'all make some plays. I can't make them all. And it's made him work on the little things that he had ignored, I thought, previously in his career. All right, to the Steelers, who remain in the midst of a contract dispute with running back Le'Veon Bell, who is still holding out from the team. Well, this dispute has now gone to the highest levels of government, at least the government in Pittsburgh, with the mayor jumping into the fray to share his thoughts about Bell's holdout.
What do you think about Le'Veon Bell's situation?
Well, it's very unfortunate. He's... I think getting very bad advice from his manager, and it's getting to the point of a certain tipping point when you can still come back and your teammates and the fans will want to have you back.
So I think we're already at the tipping point. I think it's already tipped. I think the boat has sailed on Le'Veon Bell playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Once his teammates came out and attacked him, and once James Conner started proving he could play a little bit, I just don't think you can bring Le'Veon Bell back into this locker room.
Jason, you're too credible to be attaching your argument to that mayor talking about his manager giving him that. He don't even know football.
I'm not talking about your mayor. I think we've reached the tipping point.
My manager is handling my money. My agent is talking about stay away. Here's the thing. This is just negotiation talk. It always happens, and there's always crossfire. So when Le'Veon knows I have to week 10 before I have to make a decision, what do? You turn the light up on them. You turn the fire up on them if you're Pittsburgh. We're thinking about trading you. You turn the fire up on them. Oh, you know what? I don't even know if he's accepted back in this locker room. You turn the fire up on him just to try to create a sense of urgency so he can show up in week 4, week 5, anything before week 10. But trust me, if he showed up today, they're going to try and figure out a way to get him on that field this Sunday. Just negotiation.
That's without a doubt.
Yeah.
You know, Le'Veon Bell, every time he's suited up with the Pittsburgh Steelers, he has done some really good things behind that offensive line. And you talked about week 10. He has to be there that Tuesday after week 10 season to get their accredited season. Mm-hmm. He's going to show up.
Yeah.
If he does wait to week 10, he's going to show up, or going into week 11, he's going to show up. And when he does show up, the players are going to accept him, because especially if he wants to play. If he's going to play. Now, if he has a mysterious injury, they're not going to accept
hamstring
him. That's back. When they're going to have some backlash. But if he comes in and he's ready to play, they're going to accept him and say, you know what, can you help us win? Can you help us win the AFC North and get to the playoffs?
They'll accept him if they're not having a great season at that point. If they're playing well, he's not going to be accepted at all because
what?
They've drawn a line in the sand.
Who is they?
The linemen. The linemen. Once they come out and say,
that's good can get better.
No, listen.
Great can get greater.
If I'm Le'Veon Bell, there's no way I'm walking into that locker room and saying, what's up to Pouncey, to Foster. There's no way.
They talk about his money, Marcel. There's no way.
It's an unwritten rule. You don't talk about the other man's money.
Right. If they're playing bad, they're going to accept him because they need him. James Conner's doing okay. He had one
and
good
game. And they want more out of that because they know what more looks like in that position.
Right, but Le'Veon is going to come in. If they come up and bow down, so to speak, now we cool.
Stop, TJ. When you played, if you were holding out and somebody made the violation of talking about TJ, when TJ came back, which he would, and got his money, he going to pull them to the side.
Yes.
Say, bro, I know, never again. And I'm going
to
let
you. And if they do that, we're cool.
And they're going to do that. But trust me, he's coming back. They're having that conversation. And you think they're going to trade in a Le'Veon Bell for James Conner?
If they're playing well, do you think they're going to say, oh, my bad, they – come on in. We don't need you now. If they're playing bad, they'll bow down
and
say,
that's a 13-win team that didn't win the Super Bowl. They know it can look great right now, but the playoffs are a whole different animal. You need Le'Veon Bell.
Connor's played well.
Yeah, the first game. He had 30 yards on the last drive against Tampa Bay. Before that, he had like 14 carries for 10 yards.
He's played okay, all right? And we all got excited with a couple of those runs and in the one game he had a really nice game. Le'Veon Bell is different. There's a difference between when you see greatness and you see common, like what you see every single day,
right,
what the norm is. Le'Veon Bell is a different maker.
The Steelers are in a bind, bro.
They are in a bind, but you know he's going to come back. He's going to come back when he comes back. When he does come back, I'm thinking he's going to want to play because I think he's a competitor. And when he's going to come back and he's going to help the black and gold win as many games they can.
You know better than I do about Le'Veon, but from the outside, I just think Le'Veon mentally is different than a lot of guys in the locker room. I think there's act to him. Like, there's some studio gangsters, and then there's some real ones.
Yeah, yeah.
And I just don't think he's a studio guy.
He may pull
so,
up, huh?
And so, literally, I don't think. And so when TJ makes the point of, like, when he comes into the locker room, he's going to look at Marquise Pounce, and he don't care how big he is.
Right.
It's going to be, man, you was talking about my money and my family.
Yeah.
And what in his mind, when you start talking about my money, you're talking about my family and all this. You done crossed a line with him that I just don't think he's just going to let go like some other guys.
Even if what if he has already? Like,
We don't know that.
He's about that life, that phone was ringing as soon as he saw that on the TV.
I'm sure it was.
Okay, and so that means.
And they knew up front who he was, and they still talked about his money. I just don't think he lets it go.
Player stats are not the same as media outcries.
That was a front office thing and a coach thing because look what happened with Antonio Brown. Mike Tomlin nipped that in the bud. Nobody else, he didn't come to practice on Monday. He didn't show. They didn't talk about that.
Good point.
That was over real quick. But the Le'Veon thing went on for 4 or 5 days. That came from up
they
top.
They trying to turn
that
the fire
came from up
top. I'm telling you, they're trying to let it leak.
But you think about it. When have you haven't had rifts in the locker room between players? You got 53 men in a locker room.
But it doesn't get out to the public like this.
No.
Yeah, I mean, it got out to the public. But when they get back into the locker room, it's going to be squashed inside the locker room. Yeah. I mean, it's going to be squashed that quick.
Yeah,
now,
quick.
And it shouldn't like flow over to the field because at the end of the day, they're trying to win football.
Right. And again, you played in the league and Marcel's played. There was money to be made. But, man, this guy makes $14, $15 million a year and is asking for $17, $18 million a year. I just think there's a different level of animus when you're talking about $14, $15, $16, $17, $18 million a year as opposed to your heyday when you may have been talking about $1 million, $1.5 million or whatever. I just think the stakes are higher, and these guys live a lifestyle, and the social media that amps up the animus. I just don't think this is the normal contract situation with the normal guy in Le'Veon Bell. All right, welcome back. He's That Dude. I'm Jason Whitlock. Let's talk some hoops and some drama in the NBA. You would think that winning back-to-back championships and finals MVPs would be enough to satisfy even the biggest diva athlete, not Kevin Durant. Apparently, he's pissed because he's never won the award for Defensive Player of the Year. In a radio interview yesterday, KD sounded off on why he doesn't win as many awards as he should or thinks he should.
You know they're not going to give me anything. Even if it's on the fence, I have to be clear-cut better than everybody for me to even get a look. So,
why do you think that is?
I mean, it's just pure hate for me, obviously, and no appreciation for my real skill for the game. But I get it. I understand where we're coming from. I understand what we have here in this building that scares everybody. Accolades, that stuff, that stuff is kind of long gone for me, unless it's like, you know, finals or something like right. that, where it's probably pretty even. Mm-hmm. But you know, regular season awards, I mean, I'm never going to get a look when it comes to that, especially playing here for the Warriors.
I'm going to try to do this without being critical of Kevin Durant because I don't think there's really anything to criticize Durant for, but he's wrong. I think he's like everybody else in American society that's either in the media or is some type of celebrity or high-profile athlete. His mind has been captured by social media.
Hmm.
And so social media has convinced Kevin Durant that everybody hates him.
Wow.
And Cowherd talked at the end of his show today about a poll he put up on his Twitter feed, and Cowherd was saying that 67% of the people say they don't like Kevin Durant. And that is true on Twitter.
Yeah.
In the real world, people like and respect and enjoy Kevin Durant. And if he could move into the real world and see how he's really viewed, he wouldn't feel this way.
I disagree in this respect. I think, look, you're right. It certainly is a voice you have to respect, or you're bombarded with social media, the loud minority, which it is. Like, if you look at all the statistics, fewer people are on social media than populate this world. But it's still, you could go on your timeline and think that's the entire world's view. I get that part. However, there's a difference between being respected, which you said, take yourself away from social media. You're highly respected. You're second best player in the world. And likability. And I think Kevin Durant is correct in saying he's not likable. And in part, he's not likable. You know why? Because he is the one that is keeping it 100. Like, let's just say it. Of the top five players, let's go, if you want to say LeBron won. LeBron is not keeping it 100 in part because LeBron has so many things going on, so many lanes that as real as he is, he doesn't say everything. He takes the high road. Kevin Durant would take whatever road it takes to get to the issue. And that's why he's not likable, in part, and also because of his move to Golden State.
I completely disagree, Marcellus, because here's what I think the overwhelming majority of fans, when they think of Kevin Durant and whether or not they like him,
all right,
take it off the basketball court. Here's what they think of Kevin Durant.
You the real MVP, mama.
Mm-hmm. They think of a guy who loves and adores his mother, and they love and adore him because of his connection to his mother. That's the overwhelming perception.
That message got overshadowed by, you went where? You're a coward. You're weak. Look, not to me. I'm just saying what I think when I'm around people, when I'm at a sports bar and I'm having that reluctant conversation with the drunk guy who's telling me all his sports talk.
Yep.
And I'm like, you really don't like Kevin Durant because he went there? Yeah, he messed up the NBA. And if you're such a competitor, why don't you go somewhere and make it a more adverse road and make it more difficult? Likeability.
There's truth to that.
Likeability comes into all voting. Look, the only thing I've ever got to vote on was the Pro Bowl selections every single year as a player. So we used to sit in that room, and it used to be amazing to me, especially when we had to vote on the lineman or a fullback, some of the more anonymous positions. So you would say the obvious names, Jonathan Ogden, Orlando Pace, everybody like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then you say, Kevin Mawai, center. Somebody say, oh, he ain't played this year yet. You're like, damn it. All right, give me another name. So next thing you know, it turns into popularity contest, likability. Oh, so-and-so is good, and I like him. T.O. suffered through this. He was a third ballot Hall of Famer.
Not nearly as likable as Kevin Durant.
Not likable. Likability is a part. It's a percentage of why you vote.
All right, today we're talking Kirk Cousins, or as I like to call him, Captain Shirk. The Vikings backed the Brinks truck up for him in hopes of pairing him with their dominant defense. But so far, they've gotten mixed results overall. My rating for Cousins is actually up 1 point to a 56. He's a role player. Marcellus,
yeah.
I just don't think he's an all-time great by any stretch. I moved him up 3 points there
to a four?
From one to a four because of the contract. But overall, he's a 56. I'm astonished at your rating. Could we please hear this?
I'm astonished at yours. You put him at an all-time status of 4. That means forgettable. You got to remind your family you even played in the NFL. No, he's higher than that.
No.
Let me give you some good rankings right here. Job performance is down because no one paid you $84 million to go 1-1-1 and to pad the stats in second halves of games when you're already losing those games. All-time great status? Look, let's be real. I give him a 14 and it stays the same. 15 to me means you're an average quarterback. You never command, top dollars because you're just average. No one ever expected anything of you, and you gave him exactly what they expected. Not much. He's a little
more than Marcellus.
Yeah.
What when you talk all-time great,
first of all,
you got to put yourself in the conversation to even, you know, can we even consider him an all-time great? And once you start in that 14, 15 range, that's what you're talking about. The guy's never accomplished anything. He hasn't won a playoff game. What did he do in college? What's his accomplishment in college?
I get all that.
Nothing.
Okay.
He's Scott Mitchell.
I'm saying he's a little bit.
He's Scott Mitchell.
He's half of Tom Brady plus a little. No? Is that not good?
No.
Okay, he's half of. Who else is the all-time great? He's half of Scott Mitchell. Okay, but he's higher than Scott Mitchell.
A guy that got overpaid and didn't deserve it.
I think you gave him Scott Mitchell's all-time great of 4.
You got him at a 75 at All-Star.
You got paid
We'll see you next week.